Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perry A. Actually, today is our lifestyle wellness program. And this program is a little different than the Clay Questions. We have Clay Questions seminar twice a month. And in between, we have one where we look at life and what keeps us in stress and out of harmony. And today, I have an interesting subject to approach with you, and it's self-actualization. I was actually writing self-awareness down, and I thought, okay, let's go a step beyond that. You always hear of self-actualization, and what exactly does that mean? So I did a little research that I'm going to share with you today, and the topic being self-actualization. And basically, it's expressing one's creativity, a quest for spiritual enlightenment, which is simply that happiness within, the pursuit of knowledge, and the desire to give to society are examples of self-actualization. Now, Abraham Maslow used the term self-actualization to describe a desire rather than a driving force. So it's a desire that could lead to realizations of one's capabilities, or their potential. The self-actualizer is a person who is living creatively and fully using his or her potentials. What a man can do, he must do. It refers to the desire for self-fulfillment, namely to the tendency for man to become actualized in what he is potentially. So we all have many talents and desires, and this, when we hit on it, whether by accident or by design, when we discover that place, something that we love doing, there is an energy about it that when we do it, it just really lifts us, and we want to learn more and more. Generally, when we first learn about it, we're kind of taking baby steps. We have a lot of self-knowledge to learn about ourselves and our potential, our talents. And as I said, we have many talents. My first that I was aware of, I never knew I wanted to be a public speaker, and I stumbled into it, and I loved it, even though I was afraid at first, and I had to get through that ego state. It was a driving force in me. And I did whatever I needed to do to keep bread on the table and pay the bills until I finally got to the level where I could maintain myself as a motivational speaker. So Maslow also says there is a hierarchy to our self-actualization, and we need to take care of self-preservation, food, job, security, things of that nature before we run off pursuing something. Because generally when we first start out, we're not at the place where we're not discovered overnight and our talent's not so fully developed that we know how to market ourselves and how to give this gift to the universe and share it. So there are some characteristics. I keep looking, okay, what is it about self-actualized persons? So I found Maslow had self-actualizing characteristics. These are characteristics of people who are self-actualizing. And you will probably identify with some and some you won't. And that's okay. We're at different places on this ladder to realization of our strengths and our abilities. Efficiency, perceptions of reality. Self-actualizers are able to judge situations correctly and honestly. They're very sensitive to fake and dishonest and are free to see reality as it is. So to be able to look at life without perceptions getting in the way, to look at it honestly and to be able to accept what is. The next step is comfortably accept self, others, and nature. This is not an easy thing, particularly accepting ourselves and accepting everything around us. Accepting is being at peace with where you are and what's going on around you. And when you're at peace And when you're in gratitude, things will actually happen to lift you to a higher place. Self-actualizers accept their own human nature with all its flaws. We don't try to be perfect. We realize we have flaws. The shortcomings of others and the contradictions of the human condition are accepted with humor and tolerance. You know, that reminds me that Byron Katie, she says, if somebody criticizes me and judges me and tells me I don't like you because are you aware you do this and it's very unbecoming, or I don't like the way you do such and such, and she says, you know, you might be right. I'll look at that. Thank you. And she doesn't get defensive. She doesn't go to war. She just says, I'll look at it. And so the person has been heard. She's respected them, and she respected herself. Didn't say she's going to change. And that's another thing about self-actualized people. They're reliant on their own experiences and judgments. They're independent. They're not reliant on culture and environment to form opinions and views. We are so molded by our parents, the values that are around us, to color within the lines, so to speak, and never get outside of the lines. And, you know, not to color a person purple, you have to color them flesh-colored. Well, expressing yourself is just that. If you want a purple person, have a purple person. That's creativity. But for someone to say, oh, you can't do that, that's very limiting. And then you start looking at what you can't do, and you try to please, and you fall into that valley there, that between what do I do and what do I don't do and what's right and what's wrong, trying to please someone else rather than just being yourself and accepting that. And that's a big one for us. Self-actualized people are spontaneous and natural. They're true to oneself rather than being how others want them to be. They are task-centered. Most of Maslow's subjects had a mission to fulfill in life. Some tasks are problem beyond themselves instead of outside of themselves to pursue. Humanitarians such as Albert Schweitzer or Mother Teresa were considered possessed this quality. There are many more on here, and reading them to you, I'm not sure is going to be the best way to hear it. So being a storyteller, I like to get into storytellers. So I'm going to summarize it. Self-actualizers feel finally themselves, safe, not anxious, accepted, loved, loving, and alive, certainly living a fulfilling life. So that's the end result. Our thought for today that sort of goes with this is your journey has molded you for your greater good. It was exactly what you needed to be. Don't think that you've lost time. So look at that. Your journey has molded you for your greater good. Everything that's happened in your life is leading you to your greater good. And it was exactly as it needed to be for you to get the lessons that you needed to learn or the steps you needed to take to get you where you want to be. How many of you can look back at a disaster in your life that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, maybe in your childhood? And how has that molded you into the person you are today? And the other day I looked back at several people in my life that I was a little embarrassed to have there. Maybe they didn't meet those standards of excellence that my values were. And I realized that every one of them were instrumental in getting me to where I am today, and I should be very grateful and thankful for them. And the list just went on and on. The people that I was embarrassed about dealing with were really my highest spiritual teachers. So your journey has molded you for your greater good, and it's exactly what it needed to be. Don't think you've ever lost time. Never think you took a wrong path. Everything is for a purpose to help you to get where you want to be. And when we can accept that and understand that and quit beating ourselves up, thinking we did something wrong or I never should have done that, look for the good that you've learned from that crisis, from that challenge, from that situation. I mean, you're here today, you're alive, you're still inquisitive and learning and curious. So there you have it. My intention for today is to accept the whole of my life, knowing everything happened as it should to get me where my inner knowing wants to be. Detours are temporary changes in direction that give us different perspectives. I have potential to be more than I am today. So that is my intention today, is to be more than I was yesterday, to use my potential and to keep growing. When we keep growing and developing and using our minds and being of service is when we start rotting. And you'll see the people in the old folks home who have no way of being of service, of contributing, and they're just sitting and watching TV. They're just marking time. And the quality of their life is gone because they have nothing to do. Many of them have lost their hearing or their sight, and that impairs them. When my brother was 92, he had that. He couldn't hear. He couldn't see good. He was an avid reader. He couldn't watch the news, couldn't do the things he loved to do. And he was giving up. He was ready to go. The quality of life was gone. That spark wasn't there. There was nothing to ignite the spark. And after he retired, I remembered his wife wanting to find something for him to do because he had always been very active, and he started delivering Meals on Wheels and helping other people and volunteering for different things around town, and he loved it. He dearly loved it. It kept him active and fun, and he had a delightful sense of humor, and he loved cheering people up and meeting people, so that was a great gift for him to continue to be of value. Abraham, this is from Abraham Hicks. Until you have made the decision about what is important to you, all stimulation of thought draws our attention. It is as if you give your attention to anything, you begin to create in that direction. And that is the reason there is so much value for you to break your day into segments and to intend clearly what is most important within each segment. Otherwise, you're hopscotching around, multitasking in 16 directions at one time, and nothing gets completed. So as you begin the process of segment intending, you will be in control of your physical experience, one segment at a time. Any confusion that you are currently experiencing will lessen immediately, and instead feeling a feeling of overwhelmment and confusion, which are warning bells. You will be filled with exuberance and forward motion. So when I came on this program, my intention was to try to give something of value to the listeners about how to improve the quality of their life. And when I got into the self-actualization, I thought, I'm just reading, and I'm really not telling anything, and I skipped a whole lot of things there, which will be on the website for you to look at if you have a desire. But I felt like I was reading other people's words. I wasn't giving examples of a self-actualized person. And we've all had those peaks and moments when we were there and we were just in such great joy. We wanted to skip down the street and sing and wave our hands and dance. That inner joy that just spurs you when you find that thing you love to do and you do it and you're filled with laughter. For men, a lot of it is sports. They love sports. They love interacting with other guys and playing games and the challenge and the endurance. And some of them, it's just work. They love their work. So it's different for all of us. Conversations with God says, this is the message I drew today. Your mind is right now filled with old thoughts. Not only old thoughts, but mostly someone else's old thoughts. It is important now to change your mind about some things. This is what evolution is all about. So we grew up with a lifestyle and with parameters set by our parents that fit that day and age, and many of them do not apply today because life changes and we grow and things are different. So we change or we get stuck fighting to stay where we were. And these old thoughts, are they still serving you? You can ask when you get a belief that you're stuck in, is this my belief, or did someone else give it to me? Who gave it to me? And was it purposeful at the time? Is it serving me now, or is it holding me back? So look at the belief systems that you have and see which one you inherited or accepted from someone else, and which one are your driving force. And rules are funny. The more you try to control something, the less control you have over it. It's like trying to hold water. You can't. The tighter you try to squeeze it, the more that runs out. The power thought for today is, I now listen to what I say. I don't say anything I don't want to become true for me. Everything I do is by choice. That's one of the most important things we can do to be self-actualized or self-aware. I listen to what I say. I don't say anything I don't want to become true for me. I'm trying to think of an example to say of how we talk to ourselves. And I know I'm getting older. I'm 75 years young, but at night, my night vision not as clear, and I don't like to drive at night. I'm very cautious, and I always have a fear I'm going to not see something and run over something, you know, or get in somebody's lane because the lights were glaring and I couldn't tell how close they were or what lane it is. So I set an intention that when I drive, that I have angels all around me that not only protect me but protect the other cars, that some little aha will make me look twice or something. But I get into my car with that fear there, and I have to compensate the fear and put in what the way I want it to be. So I let go of the fear, and I say, I trust I am safe, and I'm a safe driver, and that I'm conscious and aware enough to ask for protection from angels. And an angel can be a driver in another car, you know, that honks or something. So you never know where they'll be or who they'll be or what the message will be. But when I hit my fear moments, I try to go to the way I want to see it and what help that I might need to do that. So far, everything is working good, but I still have that feeling. I know one night I was turning the corner and there wasn't a street light and there was a center divide, and I was just headed right for the curb instead of the street. And, of course, as I got closer, I saw it and continued around it and missed it. But the fact that it was a strange street with a center divide and I didn't see it when I started the turn, that's kind of scary. So those are the things I look out for. And when we listen to what we say, we'll be very surprised. And it's good to have a partner, someone to help you realize, do you realize what you just said? You said, I can't ever do that, or I'm not good at math. These things are learned skills. We have a lot of learned skills, and the attention that we put to it is what we get out of it. So if you're not good at math, maybe you need to spend a little more time with math. Practice what you're not good at. I had a coach tell my grandson the other day, our basketball season is over. And he said, in the off season, I want you to practice dribbling with your left hand without looking down at the ball until it's just natural. He said, practice the things you're not good at. Don't spend a lot of time doing what you are good at. Practice what you're not good at. And he also said, practice with people who are better than you, because that will challenge you and you can learn from them. If you're better than everybody else, you never stretch and grow. But if somebody's better than you, you'll figure out a way to get better if you have a competitive cell in your body, which we all do. I don't feel like I've left you with a lot of quality today. I don't know why that is. It's just my gut feeling. So I'm going to ask if anyone has any questions and go and look and see if anyone has submitted a question. Okay. Oh, Marianne in British Columbia. Good day, Perry. Thank you for another one of your lovely calls. I appreciate your wise and kind words. Well, Marianne, I'm going to accept that because I'm just sitting here doubting myself. So what a beautiful message, and thank you for that. I appreciate knowing that there is some value in what I say. I'm going to go to our listeners on the telephone line and say, if you have a question, something in life you want to pursue that you haven't been able to yet, and what's holding you back. We can multitask. I was watching a copy of on TV of Blue Bloods, the one about the police officers, and the chief of police was telling his grandson's class that there was one little girl, and he said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said she knew all about nature and the forest. She wanted to be a Park Service ranger, and her mother wanted her to be a doctor and was really pushing her to be a doctor. She was 10 years old, and she was already being pushed to be a doctor. But when you ask her what she loved doing, she could tell you all about the forest services and the animals and nature and the trees and how important it was to preserve the environment. And he looked at her and he said, you know, you can do more than one job. Most of us have more than one job. Parenting is a job. Working to bring in a paycheck is a job. And you can multitask. You can study to be one thing and give another. He was talking about Woodrow Wilson and the Rough Riders. I think that's the one. Is he the one that was the Rough Rider? And that how he loved nature, and he was the one that started our preserves, our nature preserves. And he was president of the United States, so he did two things at one time. He put his attention to something that he valued and that gave him great joy, while he was fulfilling another role as well. So don't think you have to have a job you don't like and never be able to do what you do like. There are always weekends and other times you can do what you do like. And the greatest thing is to find joy in whatever you're doing. Somehow be at peace with the job that you have and start looking for the good qualities about it. When you stay in that negative space, you become a victim. You're wearing a burden. It's like you're carrying a weight on your shoulders. That's when people get ulcers and stress and strokes and disease, not being happiness. Happiness is a choice. You can choose to be happy in any environment. You know, we look at little children in poverty in Africa through these films, and they're playing in the streets with sticks and circles and balls and just rolling little things. They don't need complicated toys, and they're laughing and they're having fun. So happiness is a choice of how you want to be at any given moment in your life. In a perilous situation, in a stressful situation, and having an intention for that situation before you get into it. I know some of us have conflicts with families. How about before you go get a family get-together? I always, when I go see my girls, have an intention, and I think intentions are very important, to have a fun bonding time with my girls, no matter which one I go to see. I want it to be fun. I don't want to be there to mother them. I've mothered them. They're old enough to mother themselves and take care. I want to enjoy them, enjoy the things they love doing, and have bonding time. I want to listen to them and hear them and encourage them and tell them how proud I am of them. And, you know, they each did their own things, things that I would never want to do. I would never be a good insurance salesman. Now, one daughter sells insurance, and then on the weekends, she rides and shows horses. She rides in the Texas Rain Cow Horse Association, where they go in and they do a reining pattern with sliding stops and figure eights and lead changes and spins. Then they have to go down and they turn in one cow and they cut this cow back and forth at the end of the pen. Then they run the cow down the fence, have to take it off, go in front of it, turn it back the other way, turn it both ways, take the cow off the fence and circle it in the middle. They actually get around the outside of the cow right up at his head to where the cow just keeps turning in a circle till he slows down. Then they turn around and do it the other way. I would never attempt that. It's not in my gene pool this time around to do that or to sell insurance. And she is a very good salesperson. She has a new job and has been promoted to director of sales. So she has two things she loves doing. And my other daughter is a kindergarten teacher, and I promise you I could never do that. The first time I went to watch her do her student teaching, I left with a horrible headache. Just, you know, 20 little kids running around, and all of a sudden she says, Marissa, get out of the boys' bathroom. The girls' bathroom is over here. And I thought, when did she see that child go into the boys' bathroom? And here they got paper and they were cutting out. There were scraps and paper and trash everywhere. And I'm just thinking, oh, my gosh, she's going to have to clean all that up. Well, she didn't. She asked the kids to do it. She had them clean it up. And then she went around and she said, now come over and sit down. We're going to have reading time. And she looked at all the stations and she said, someone left a mess in the science section. And she said, Larry, you and Penelope go over there and clean up that. And they said, well, Miss Arledge, we weren't in the science section. And she said, well, that's okay. You're real good cleaner-uppers. You just go do that for me. And they happily got up and ran over there and cleaned it up. So for her, it was easy. You know, when kids get in a fight, she gets them together and she says, okay, what's this about? She said, look, we don't have time. That's a little thing. We don't have time for that. Now I want you to hug and shake hands, say you're sorry, and go out and play. Now hug each other and go play. You know, and she just tells him it was a little thing. It may have hurt your feelings. You apologize. Don't do it again and go play. And she says it so quick that they just do it. They just stand there and they shake hands and they hug each other. And next thing, they're back out on the playground playing again and best friends. I could never do that. Everyone has their own gift. And when they're in it, they're so joyful. She talks about her children. She has some with the behavior problems, and she loves them. She laughs with them and loves them. She had one little boy that could not interrupt. She couldn't read a story without him interrupting. And she kept bringing him up and having him sit at the front, and please don't interrupt. And during Christmas, she was reading a Christmas story, and she said, ask him, she said, do you think I can get through the Christmas story without you interrupting? And he nodded his head, and he said, how many believe, and I'm going to make up a name, Joey, can go through while I read the book and sit there and not interrupt? And some of the kids raised their hands, and some, she said, well, how many think he won't? And some of them raised their hands. She started reading the book, and I looked at this child, and he was cross-legged sitting there, and he had his cheeks sucked in. It was like he was sucking in on his cheeks to remind him not to open his mouth and talk. He was so focused. His intention was so clear that he actually made it all the way through the book. And this was a huge thing for Joey. He just pops around like popcorn. And it was such a huge thing, and all the kids applauded, and they all gave him high fives, and it was just a celebration. And, you know, she has children like this to deal with all the time, but she turns it into something good. And that's what life is about. I guess you can tell I'm proud of my kids. Well, we're down to our closing thought for today. And the closing thought is, I love life. It is my birthright to live fully and freely. I give to life exactly what I want life to give to me. I am glad to be alive. I love life. That's from Louise Hay and her one of her wisdom cards. But I love this. I give to life exactly what I want life to give to me. Whatever you want more of, give that away. You want more friends, be a friend. You want more gatherings with groups, have a party. Just whatever you want, be that for the world, and it will come back to you. And love, if we can be love and give more love, we can dissolve the wars. We don't focus on wars if we focus on love. Focus on compassion and understanding. So, with that closing thought, that it is your birthright to live fully and freely and to give love, and for love to give back to you, to give life, and for life to give you what you want. So, that's our session for today, our notes, and you can have all the rest of the Maslow actualizations here. I'll read a few of the titles, and then you can read definitions under it. Being task-centered, being autonomy, self-actualizers are free from external authority or people. To continued freshness and appreciation, profound interpersonal relationships. They have comfort and solitude. They are non-hostile with a sense of humor. That's really big. Not going to war, not being defensive, but being a humorous. They experience peak experiences. They are socially compassionate. And they have few friends, few close intimate friends rather than many surface relationships. So if you want to read more about each of those, that'll be posted, and we'll send out the newsletter and let you know when a copy of this and these materials are with you. But remember to practice what you love to give in life. And like the basketball coach, practice the things you're not good at. Practice the things that are going to help you be a well-rounded person. So this is Perry A. signing out. Thank you for listening in. Now go have a wonderful weekend. It's yours, you know, and it's free to create in. You have a drawing board that you can create the day you want, the experience you want with others. Set some attention, go forth, and spread love. Goodbye.